someone if you love them. Just open your mouth and let them hear your words. Let them hear your praise just for about 30 seconds. Just say, I love you, Lord. Just say, I'm here to worship you tonight. Maybe you just want to say the name of Jesus. Because if that's the only word you know how to say, there's power in that name. Come on, somebody give him a praise that he's worthy of. Somebody give him a praise that he's worthy of. There may be no greater way to walk in victory than to do what we're doing right now. There may be no greater way to see victory as a believer than when you are in worship. Because I could have a sermon, but listen, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to listen to anybody's sermon. All we're going to do is say, holy, holy, holy. We're going to worship the King. We're going to worship our Father. We're going to be there with His Son. We're going to be there in the Spirit. And I want to tell you that worship is so powerful because worship is really warfare. Because I'm not here to wrestle against things that I can see in the natural. I'm here to wrestle against principalities and powers. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to wrestle, I came to win. I came to do some damage to the kingdom of darkness. Oh, because my God is greater than any devil and any demon in hell. See, even in the Old Testament times, this is how they approached the battle. This is how they went to the fight. They sent out the worshipers first. Because they knew if we send out the worshipers first, we're going to set the stage for God to win the battle for us. Because they understood as a believer, I don't have to fight for victory. I get to fight from victory. The battle's already been won. Oh, I feel the anointing tonight. The battle's already been won. And I know some people may judge some of us who are loud and exuberant. And we get excited because maybe some people would say it doesn't take all that. It doesn't take all that to worship and to experience God. I understand that some people worship different. Man, I was talking with somebody last night and I said I get to go to all kinds of churches. And I feel there are all kinds of churches for all kinds of people. And there are some churches, and I understand, they have maybe a different background or a different denomination or whatever. And because of the culture, maybe there are some circles who worship God who would think that it's too exuberant in this room. And they would think it doesn't take all of this. And I understand there are different flavors, and I understand there are different kinds of places for different kinds of people. But there are some people who call themselves believers that I'm not so sure about. And it's those who say, I don't have to make any noise to worship. Maybe you haven't read what heaven is like. Because all they do is worship. They say out of their mouth, holy, holy, holy. And hear me, when they're saying that, the seraphim, it ain't no quiet game up there. It's not like a library. They don't. No, I believe that as they're worshiping, I believe there is. See, how do you know that, Daniel? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I read in my Bible, it says this about heaven. It says when they worship, that it shakes the doorposts of heaven. I want you to know, if there's anything that I could think of that should not be able to move, it's the doorposts of heaven. And what God wants us to know tonight is that when you begin to truly worship, things that seem immovable, things that seem like they'll never move out of your way, when you begin to worship, there is this power that does not come from within your own self. It does not come from your physical ability. No, this power comes from on high. See ya. I'm reminding myself today, I told my wife earlier, I said, I just want to remind myself that my relationship with God is not just up here. We have to do that sometimes. Because if you don't, this will get in the way of your encounter tonight. This will get in the way of you experiencing a miracle or a move of God for you. My relationship with God, hear me, is spiritual. Which means this. When I relate to Him, it's my spirit to His spirit. It's the spirit of God to my spirit. What are you saying? I'm saying we have to remember how it is that we have faith and we experience these great and mighty things that I believe God wants to do in our lives, whether here tonight or at home. I believe we have to understand, how do we connect to that source? How do we connect to this God, this great I Am? It's on a spiritual level. I tell you that tonight because I feel like this could get in the way for someone. Go all the way back to two women in the Scripture, both pregnant at the same time. One woman pregnant with Jesus. Another woman pregnant with John the Baptist. We have Mary and Elizabeth. Inside of the womb of Mary was Jesus. Inside of the womb of Elizabeth, John the Baptist. The Bible shows us that when Mary and Elizabeth came together, two babies in two separate wombs, unconscious, not having cognitive abilities in the womb, the Bible says even through all of that separation and that separation of flesh, all of that with no cognitive abilities yet, this baby, John the Baptist, leapt in his mother's womb when he came into proximity with Jesus. Now, fast forward to full-grown John the Baptist. Full-grown honey and locust in the beard, John the Baptist. Now he's got a mind to think. And what happens when Jesus is there? He doesn't leap. He doesn't have this experience with the Holy Spirit. He says, I got to send word because I need to know, are you the one that we're waiting for, or should I expect somebody else? So hold up. You mean to tell me that the unconscious, no cognitive abilities at work, John, had an experience with the Holy Spirit and Jesus? But when he's full grown and able to see with his own eyes and think with his own mind, and now he's got lots of life experience, he doesn't even recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Here's the revelation. Never let your mind talk you out of your revelation. Don't build your Christianity. Don't build your faith on the sand of your situation. Build your faith on the rock of your revelation. If God spoke a thing, that's the rock you stand on. If God promised you something, that's the rock that you stand on. How can I believe when it's not what I see in front of me? That's exactly what I'm after tonight. I'm after you getting everything out of the way that's hindered you from experiencing God in a supernatural way. If it wasn't a spiritual relationship, how could I really have a peace that surpasses all understanding? How can I get a peace that surpasses all my understanding if I can understand it? Wouldn't that make it a peace that's understandable or understood? No, I need a peace when I'm in the middle of a storm that everybody's calling me like, are you okay? Because you should not be okay. I would be worried. I would be stressed. I'd be upset. I'm fine. It doesn't make sense. But I found out, that God doesn't always make sense because He made sense. God is the maker of heaven and earth. He created the earth and the laws that govern it. He created it all. He says, I created your body. So even though the laws of your body and sickness and disease and doctor reports, it may say one thing about who you are, I say another. There's something deep. See, truth sometimes isn't so obvious with what you see and what you hear. Truth isn't so always so obvious. Sometimes truth only comes when you simplify what He said. See, I don't know about you, and I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but this is prophetic. I feel like I can relate to someone in the room. This is going to hit you right where you are. I know what it's like to know what God said, but still feel uncertain. I know it's truth, but is it truth today? I know that sounds like that's a fault. Like, why would you say that? No, if it's truth, it's truth. I know. But truth in one situation may not be the same truth in another situation. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that I may have a situation where God says, yes, always do this, go there. If you're here, if you're in this environment, the answer is yes. But I may be in an environment where if I say yes, I can cause someone else to stumble because they won't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think there are things in my life right now going on, and I just want to be real and personable and be a real person and hit somebody where they're at. And if I haven't gotten to you yet, don't worry, I'll get to you. Because I know what it's like to go to church and to hear the word and to hear the pastor and to see the slides and to take the notes and to go home and wonder, how does this apply to me in my struggle? How does this apply to me in my storm? Because I feel like I'm searching for truth. And what do I do when I feel like I have several truths that apply? What truth applies now? See, the Lord says, I'm not the author of confusion. And when there's moments and there's times where you feel like you don't know what to do, the Lord says, Did I not allow the servant Abram to choose which way he would go and to take a course on his own effort, on his own decision making? I said, I'll bless you wherever you go. The Lord says there will be times where you have to step out of your boat and onto the waters of uncertainty, holding on to a truth that you cannot even explain how it's going to all work out. The Lord wanted me to remind someone of what I said last night. It was spoken very briefly, but the Lord wanted me to remind someone of this storm that you're in being the source of the strength God's trying to give you in this season. And sometimes fighting the storm is not what He's looking for. He's looking for you to just yield to the storm and trust the truth of His Word. See, I'm going to make it real for somebody, because if I'm supposed to be committed to God, that implies that I trust Him. Because I can't be committed if I don't trust. The fact that I'm committed means I am trusting something. That's why I'm committed. The problem is, for those of us who have a problem being out of control, those of us who trust the least are usually those of us who want to control the most. So the only thing I can do sometimes is to look back over my shoulder at all the times where I felt totally out of control and didn't know the answer. I didn't know what my truth was in that moment. I knew what the Word said. I knew what God wanted, but I didn't know which way to go. Faced with making a decision and saying, God, I don't want to make the wrong one. But I also learned about God that He doesn't always stand out in the middle of the field and say, here I am. No, I think sometimes God likes to play hide and seek. Not in a sick, twisted way, like you can't find me. You know, when I play hide and seek with my kids, we were talking about family backstage and thinking about my kids. When I play hide and seek with Zion and Graceland, you know, they're 5 and 6. And so, you know, if I really wanted to hide, y'all, they couldn't find me. But since I'm a good father and I don't want them to cry and I don't want them to be scared, when I play hide and seek, I might pick this thing to hide under. And sometimes God doesn't make it so obvious because He wants to be searched for. He's a king that wants to be searched for. And guess what? He calls you kings and priests. That's why He said it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Here it is. But it's the glory of kings and priests, people who are in that kingdom, that royal lineage, that royal priesthood, to search those things out. God says, I want you to seek and find, ask and receive, knock, and the door will be opened. Father, in these moments, these sacred seconds tonight, I'm praying for that person that's searching for truth, and even in the midst of knowing what is right and true, not sure what direction to step in now, not sure what step to take next, I pray You'd give them clarity in a way that only You can, that it would not be their mind that gets in the way of what You want to do on the inside out in that person. That's my earnest prayer, God. I pray You do it in a way that we wouldn't even be able to understand, but we would see the benefits and the fruit of our faith. In the name of Jesus, if you believe it, give Him a praise right there. Come on, before we go any further, before we do anything else, He's awesome. Come on, I want you to give this band a round of applause. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to share something from the Word of God. It won't take long, but I want to kind of I guess, just bounce off of what it is that I feel like the Lord's put in my spirit as I'm praying tonight. And I don't take too much time because I want to give us some time to pray together and seek the face of God tonight. It's the culmination of overflow. I love this idea of overflowing in life and community in the world. It's not just for me. It's for those around me. If you believe it, say yes. Are you with me? Are you awake? Are you good? I want to show you something in the scripture that's very, very, it's a familiar passage of scripture, but I want to take it and try to do it justice in a few moments before we pray. It's in Luke chapter 5. It may not be on the screen, but it's in Luke chapter 5. It's verses 1 through 11. If you have a Bible app, you can open that up. If you have something, you can just get on the internet if you need to find it. I didn't have it on the screen because I was being led by the Spirit. I had like four passages up here and I said, Lord, have your way. So here we are, Luke 5. Verses 1 through 11, it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water. Somebody say deep water. Can't hear you. Say deep water. Say it with a deep voice this time. Say deep water. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. I want to try to do this text justice for just a few moments, and we'll just title this message tonight, Sink Me. Sink Me. Sink Me. Father, I thank you in advance for what you are going to do through this word. I pray that my meanderings and words would only be a part of, God, the process of what it is that you are really about to do. I recognize that in my flesh and in my humanity, I am merely a vessel. So, Lord, fill me how only you can and pour me out that I would be a blessing with my dear brothers and sisters and friends in this room. God, I'm praying that in these moments, Lord, I pray a prayer of faith, knowing that if my spirit is relating to you as a spirit, then I can lay every fear and every doubt and everything that's any kind of unbelief in me out of me so that I can receive all that you have for me. God, I'm praying, Lord, that this would not just be hype and emotion tonight, but we would have a real raw encounter with your word, through your word. I pray you would do only what you can do. You promised us, you said it, that there would be signs, that there would be wonders, that there would be miracles that would follow the preaching of this word. I'm praying, God, that you would do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, someone say amen. I love this story because, in essence, if you just break it down quite simply, Luke 5 is Jesus calling his first disciples. And really the chief character of the text, if you will, is the man it calls Simon in Luke 5. But if you watched close enough in the 11 verses that we read, you would have noticed that it begins to change his name in the text. It switches back and forth, actually. Calls him Simon Peter, then calls him Simon again. And so what I need you to see is, it is Simon, but this is the same Peter that you know about. This is the same Peter that would become this disciple. So Jesus goes to Peter first. James and John are also there at this place called the Sea of Galilee. The text also refers to it as the Lake of Gennesaret. Same body of water, same region, same area. And what I want you to understand first, if I could just set this up a little bit, is that Peter has had other encounters with Jesus up until this moment. In fact, we can find in Scripture that he's probably had 2 or 3 encounters with Jesus personally up until this moment. But he's never actually chosen to be a disciple. He's never chosen, even though he's heard the teachings and he's heard the stories and he's heard about the miracles this man was performing. He had still not chosen to say, I'm going to follow this rabbi, this teacher, and I'm going to devote my life to following what he says, because that is truth. So what's interesting about that whole thing is, if you study the name of Peter and Simon, it's almost like God puts that old name there for a moment because he wants us to know who he was before he chose to follow. He wasn't Peter, he was Simon. You know, in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, like, they gave you names just for who you were. If you was a thief, your name was Thief. Ask Jacob. His name means liar, deceiver. That's what his name meant. And that's why God changed his name to Israel. He changed his name. And so, like, if you were a crackhead in the Bible, you'd be like, what's up? They'd be like, what's your name? You'd be like, crackhead. That's just what you are. You just told people. Like, it was really cool. Maybe we should do that today, because then you wouldn't have to worry about people taking advantage of you. Be like, what's your name? Identity thief. You know, say, you know, get away. The Bible makes it really easy. Simon is a derivative of a name, Simeon. It's the same meaning. And that name, Simeon, I found out means hearing. And this is awesome, because up until this point, now remember what I said about first mentions. This is the first disciple. Up until this point, all Simon has done is hear about Jesus. Heard about the water walking. Heard about the healing. Heard about the claim to be the Messiah. He's heard, but he's not yet chosen to follow. And I don't know about you, but I want my faith in Jesus not just to be based on what I hear. I want it to be based on experience. See, I got to lean on that scripture tonight that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But you know what? Hearing is not just the only thing we're supposed to do. Am I right? The Bible says we're supposed to be not just hearers, but also doers of the word. We're supposed to perform that thing. And this is the transition from just hearing about miracles, hearing about healing, hearing about these great moments where God changed someone's life in an instant, into the place where you begin to experience those things. And here we are. The Bible says Jesus is there with this man, and he asks him to borrow his boat, of all things, because he needed to preach to all of these people. Now, we already established the fact last night, I believe, that Jesus was always on the move. He was a moving God. There was lots of people who followed him to hear his teachings and to witness these great and mighty works that he would do. This crowd that was following him was so large that Jesus, because he's really creative, he kind of is the creator of all creativity. So he says in that moment, I need to borrow your boat because all these people are here to hear me. I got some things to say. And since I don't have a sound system here, I'm going to use your boat as a stage, and I'm going to use the natural amplification source of the water and the hillside so everybody can hear my word. Peter says, sure, cool, we'll go out there. No complaining. Says, all right, I heard about you. You're that carpenter that can multiply bread. Let's go. And so they start going out there, and they get out there, and Jesus preaches. I'm sure it was amazing, because Jesus didn't just have a word. He was the word. You know what I'm saying? Anything he said would have been good. When he's done, Jesus looks down at Simon Peter, who's already rowed him out there and waiting for him to finish. He's a good armor bearer. And Jesus says this: let's go out into the deep water and go fishing. Now, Simon Peter had been up all night fishing. You've got to understand, he knew how to fish, this man, Simon Peter, in his mind, in his experience. He knew how to catch fish. And here comes this man, Jesus, after he's been up all night and hadn't caught a thing, to say, let's go fishing. And Jesus says this. He says, let's go to the deep water and let down our nets for a catch. Now, Simon Peter would have known, there's a lot of problems with what you're asking me here, Jesus. Okay, first of all, you're a carpenter turned motivational speaker, I guess. I'm the fisherman. I've been a fisherman my whole life. My dad was a fisherman. His dad was a fisherman. My great-granddaddy's great-granddaddy's dad's great-granddad was a daddy's granddad's fisherman. What am I saying is that his whole family heritage and lineage, it was a family business that had been handed down. It was generational. His life was really consumed with this career, this thing. He knew how to fish. And in that moment, what happens? In that moment, this man who knew how to do what he was supposed to do, Here's someone else tell him how to do it, and he's got it all wrong. Three problems with what Jesus asked. Are you ready? Problem number one. First of all, Jesus, you want me to go fish in the deep water. If you knew anything about fishing, you would know we fish at the shallow water because that's where the fish come to feed. But you wouldn't know that, would you? Oh, yeah, by the way, Mr. Jesus, can you see Peter getting upset? Peter had an attitude. That's why I talk about him like this, because if you know anything about Peter, he would put his foot in his mouth real fast. So he's like, Jesus, not only that, but you want us to go. It's in the middle of the day now. We've been up all night, that whole thing. We don't fish in the day. We fish at night because that's when the fish bite. I'm not trying to be a poet, you know, but it is what it is. I'm not trying to rhyme. I just do it every time. And so he's telling him how this is going to play out, how it's going to go down. And then he says, but the biggest mistake you made, Jesus, wrong place, wrong time. But the biggest mistake you made wasn't just that you wanted us to fish in the wrong place and fish at the wrong time when the fish aren't even there, but you asked us to just let down the nets. If you knew anything about fishing, Jesus, you would know that when we just let down nets, those nets don't do anything. See, in those days, they had an art form called casting. Not like, you know, in the South where we're like, not that kind of casting. And I don't know why I made that face when I did that. Anyway. Not that kind of casting. They would take this net and like a lasso, they would spin it. And it was like an art form. They had to practice this art form technique of casting these nets so that like a circle, it would encapsulate a large catch of fish. So Jesus says, I just want you to let it down. I know it's a passive word because it was used by a man named Luke, Dr. Luke. This phrase of how this is used in the original language would have been the same phrase this doctor could have wrote for somebody with a broken arm. It's passive. Just let it, just drop it, is what he's saying. Just let it go. Somebody say, let it go. See, Peter was starting to tell Jesus, we've been up all night, we haven't caught anything. And he's saying these things because he wants Jesus to know, we know how to do this. We've done it our way before, and it worked before. And Jesus says, didn't you, I mean, this is my version, it's not in your Bible. Jesus says, didn't you just say, you've been up all night fishing and didn't catch anything? What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to get Simon Peter to realize, your way isn't working anymore. God was saying, as high as the heavens are above the earth, God was saying, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways, my culture higher than your culture. That's what a culture is. It's just ways. He says, your way isn't working, so why not try something different? Has it not been said by many famous people and smart people that if you keep doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result, you are insane? It is the definition of insanity to not realize that you're doing the same thing and getting nowhere. You're just like a hamster on the wheel going nowhere and wondering, why am I so tired and why am I so stressed and why do I feel the way I do? Because you're still trying to get the miracle from up here. It won't happen. Oh, I got to set my mind on things above and not earthly things. I got to be renewed by the cleansing and the renewing of my mind. I got to get in the Word. I got to do that. But guess what? My mind is only a conduit to get those words to my spirit. Then my spirit has to then talk to my mind again to talk my mind into believing what my spirit knows is truth. And if you don't clap right there, it went over your head. Because I know this about God is that many times when I'm worrying and I'm stressed out and I don't know which way to go, if I just cry out and say, Lord, I need you to reveal it. Here's what I know. He doesn't always. Am I the only one that felt like you didn't get the email? Like you didn't get my text message. There's no notifications in heaven. I've been asking you to move. And I feel like I'm still here in my mind. I should give up. I should cancel those appointments. I should not even do it. I should throw in the towel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm rushing to show you what happens in this text. When they did what didn't work. When they did what Jesus told them to do. When that's really all they had. That's when we begin to see the miracle. And I want you to notice with me this subtle shift. And Peter makes a powerful proclamation right in the middle of arguing with Jesus. He says this, but Master, we've worked hard all night. We've been fishing. We haven't caught the first thing. And then out of nowhere, he goes, but because you say so, I will. Because you say so. What is God's say so? It's his will. What God says is His will. When someone writes a will, they say what belongs to you. God's word is God's will. And God wants you to say, if it's your will, it's my will. How did He say it? He said, but because you say so, I will. What is a will? It's a desire. If I say I will, it means I want it. And God wants some of us in this room to look at things in our lives where we've said, I'm doing this because I have to. 21 days of fasting, I did it because I had to, not because I wanted to. So maybe you felt that way at times. Maybe you have felt like, you know, I serve and I do this because they said I'm supposed to. And yeah, I started tithing because, you know, we're supposed to. It's like some kind of law, Malachi or something. And you're doing things. And what's happening is you start, like me, it's like you're just trying to get through life. And what's happening is it's like your heart's beating real fast and you don't have any peace. And you're going through life trying to keep everything together. You're doing it in your own effort and you're doing it in your own strength. And you are under legalism without even realizing it. You are not operating in the grace of God because you were trying to do it, everything that you have to do to hold it all together. And God says, I want you to turn all of that into I'm doing this because I want to. I got up early to pray by myself with no one there to see me. Because I want to. I gave someone a seed when they were in need because I wanted to. I fasted, not because the church was doing it, but because I wanted to get close to God. And I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want the reward of their recognition or their approval. I did it because I just wanted Him. See, when Jesus calls them, where does He find them? He finds them at the edge. And I point that out right now because really that's where He finds a lot of us. He finds us at the edge. What's going on at the edge is the edge is the place where they had experienced victory. They had experienced what they were after. This is where they were comfortable. At the edge, look, if I fall, I don't even really need anybody else anymore. I can pick myself up. The water's so shallow that even if I were to fall, people probably wouldn't even have to help me. And I don't want anybody else's help. So I'll just stay here where I'm comfortable, what I'm used to. And God is calling somebody, if it's just one in this room tonight, He's calling somebody away from this shallow, superficial Christianity, away from where you feel comfortable. He says, get out of the comfort zone because it's not going to happen there. I want you to go to a place maybe that you've never gone before. Maybe for some of you it's a simple as doing something in the natural you've never done before, to let God know, I'm going to try something I've never tried before. Because I want to experience you how? In a way that I never have before. Some of the most impactful moments of my life at an altar is when I took a step in a way I never had. The first time I lifted my hands, the freedom I experienced, I can't even explain. The first time I dug down in my ego and who I was, and what I wanted people to think about me. And I fell on the ground. And I could not stop crying. And I didn't care who saw me. A few years before that, I wouldn't let anybody see one tear. Because I didn't understand that it was okay to cry. I didn't understand that even Jesus cried. On the outside of that tomb, Jesus wept. If Jesus wept, you can weep. It's okay to cry. Someone needs to hear that tonight. It's okay to cry. The edge is where I'm comfortable, so God says, I want you to move away from where you've been comfortable. Do you want to know why we stay at the edge? Let's be real. I don't mean to get into Kool-Aid. But the reason why we're at the edge is because if I'm at the edge, I don't have to go all in. I can have one foot in and still have one foot out. And we're all guilty, if we're honest, of doing this in some way at some time. I come to church and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. Then I go up the street to the place and get filled with the other spirits. I know I'm going to hit somebody with that. I come to church and I say, I'm here to serve and lay my life down. Behind closed doors, really, I'm just trying to get over on the leader because I really want to take some of those people for myself because I'm looking to do what I'm called to do. And I don't care who I hurt on the way. These deceptions that are caused come from a place where God says, you're trying to be hot, but part of you's cold, so you're lukewarm. And God says, it makes me sick to my stomach. I'd rather you just stay at the edge than try to convince everybody you're something you're not. The edge. See, the edge doesn't require faith. Therefore, I submit to you tonight that it is impossible to please God at the edge. And sometimes we're wondering where the miracle is when the miracle is not in our standing, but it's in our stepping. the miracle was not in them waiting. It was in them pursuing. The miracle was attached to their obedience to do what made no sense. So they say, Lord, Peter says, Lord, because you say so, I will. The Bible says, and I'm reading, it says that after Peter let down the nets, watch this, they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. That's what's going to happen when you step away from what you have been used to. Gosh, if I could say that more clear. That's what's going to happen when you step away from what's caused you to feel comfortable in environments of worship. See, how is it that I can be in a room and see one person having an experience and an encounter with God where they are having pure freedom and joy, and on the other side of the room, somebody with their hands folded or in their pocket acting like they don't even know why they're in the room, and they're so confused at why is this person laughing and why is that person crying and why is that person putting their hand? I don't understand. How could two people be in the same environment but two people have different results and reactions? It all has to do with the posture. It all has to do with you taking that step. So many fish that their nets began to break. Breakthroughs happen when you step out for them. It says the nets broke. Three things I want to show you. It says they filled both of their boats. Double portion. Then it says, so full, here it is, that they began to sink. Overflow. Because when you step away from what you've been used to, if I can say this right, if you could step away from the same old process of how you know to come to God, how you know to worship. Can I throw something at you? If Jesus was here today at any church in the world, he wouldn't recognize what we call church. I just messed with somebody's hall. Jesus never met a youth pastor. Jesus never saw a kids ministry. Jesus wouldn't know what a conference was. Jesus never saw a choir riser with a, he never saw a podium or a pulpit. He just had the Spirit of God on the inside of him. And he said to a group of believers, you will be the church. And we've turned it into a lot of things that are good, and they are accomplishing the purposes of God. But if you really want to think about what's really happening, it's not about all the accoutrements of ministry. It's about what the Lord's doing in us. And when they did what made no sense, they experienced breakthrough. They experienced double portion. And they experienced overflow. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. That's the kind of miracle God wants you to experience in your daily life, not just at a church event. God wants you to experience the real, raw power. But it requires a stepping and not just a standing. God says, if you really want overflow, it's time to step away from what's been holding you back from receiving that overflow. The Bible says, after the miracle, and I'm done, the band can come. The Bible says after they pulled their boats up on shore, watch this, don't miss this. It says after the miracle happened. Some theologians would have tried to estimate the amount of money this would have been worth, because not only was it such a large catch of fish that the nets broke, the size of those nets, they've done some studies. They said this could have been over a year's wages in one day. And it says they left everything on the shore. They left the fish. They left the nets. They left the boats. They left the equipment. He left his career path. He left his dreams. He left basically his whole life. Someone said, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. What does it cost to really follow Jesus and experience this kind of miracle working power? It'll cost what Catherine Coleman said it would cost when asked by a reporter in the height of her revival. Catherine, what does it cost to be someone like you? She responded eloquently as her per usual. She said, simply everything, darling. Because you cannot follow Jesus still holding on to the nets of your past. What are we holding on to that keeps us on the sands of our yesterdays and out of the waters of our tomorrows. What are we holding on to that is keeping us from experiencing overflow on a daily level? Well, I can't even walk in a room without being sensitive to how I'm supposed to live my life in this job, at this career, with these people, with my family. Lord, I know what truth is, but what's the truth for me today? What is it that you want me to stand on now? My prayer for you, for your church, for this year, is that you would have this, even if it's not an audible prayer, that you would have this thing about you. This thing that comes from a deep place of faith and saying, this is the year I'm going to do more. I'm going to go further. I'm going to step away from what I'm comfortable with. I'm going to go further. I want to go deeper because I believe that when I go to the depths, I can't stand on my own. And so I got to grab onto Jesus. And Jesus says, that's exactly where I want you, because then you're not leaning on your own understanding. But in all your ways, you're acknowledging me. God says, I want you to have this attitude in your faith that's just saying, God, sink me. Sink me. How could they leave everything on the shore? Because when Jesus did this miracle, they realized, Peter, James, and John, they all realized in that moment, if you can do this in one moment, then there's nothing that you cannot do. And so we'll leave it all behind just to follow you. From that moment forward, Jesus began to call 12 men, outskirts of town, 12 men that weren't the cute, the popular, the most intelligent. He chose them because he says, when I put this thing in you, people are going to know that this is power. Not of human effort, not in your own thinking or understanding, but from a place where I poured into you so much that it started pouring out all around you. You know, I've often thought of my sanctified imagination about what it would have been like to be in the boat with Simon and Jesus. And as Jesus challenges him to do something that the people on the shore are probably laughing at him, probably mocking him, like, everybody knows you ain't gonna cast nothing out there. It doesn't work. He didn't even cast. He just threw it in. He just let it go. Wait a minute. It looks like they got something. Wait a minute. Is it? And all of a sudden, the haters have their eyes opened. God told me to tell you tonight, the overflow isn't just for you. I don't mean to be Vanna White. But when you begin to worship in a way that you have not, and begin to pursue God in a way that you have not, and begin to have faith in a way that says, God, I'm going to put my faith out there so everybody knows I'm believing that you will do the impossible. Almost like God is in heaven saying, you've got so much faith, I would be embarrassed not to show up. I can't let my name look like that. If you let everybody know you believe me for the impossible, then I'm going to show up. God says you're going to experience overflow, but it's going to be in your life. It's going to be in the community. It's going to be in the world. See, you didn't even know this. You didn't even know this, but God is going to set up teams from this church, and I don't prophesy like this unless I know it. God is going to send teams from this church to third world countries and other parts of the earth, and I almost feel like right here in Port Orange, in my spirit, I see like on a global map, I see like ribbons taking off from this church and touching other places, ribbons coming out of this church and touching other nations. I see young people going overseas and getting called to the ministry. I see this ministry sending money to churches that are in need. I see so much out of the overflow. Out of the overflow. Somebody say overflow. Out of the overflow. God, my prayer is that you would sink me. Pour out such a blessing that I wouldn't even be able to contain it. Oh God, fill me with your glory in such a way that I would say, I've got to get this into the hands and into the hearts of other people. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would raise up people in this church that say, God, I don't just want to be saved. I want to serve. I don't just want to be a Christian. I want to be a disciple. I don't just want to be a hearer anymore. I want to get in the game. I don't want to be on the sidelines anymore. I want to participate. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling somebody off the bench. You've been on the sideline too long. You went on the sideline because you felt like nobody wanted what you had. And nobody wanted to hear what you had to say. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Someone in this room that's over the age of 50, you have allowed the enemy to convince you that you're done, that you are in the last season of your life and you can sit back and relax. God says, no, I'm calling you to step up and step out. I'm not done with you yet. Oh, I feel His anointing so strong. I know God wants to move when I feel like I can't even preach. I just feel drunk the whole time. I just feel like it's not like last night. I just feel like I gotta get out of His way. If you're in this room tonight and you want to receive more of God, this is for someone who has never received baptism in the Holy Spirit, and this is for everyone who has, but you're like me, you're saying, I want more. I want to step away from what I've been used to. I want to step away from what for me for a long time has been good enough, but it's not good enough anymore. I want more. Somebody say more. A lot more for us. Say more. We want more, Lord. Now stand to your feet right where you are. God's about to move in a powerful way. Stand up on your feet right where you are. Don't even talk to your neighbor if you could just give attention to the Spirit of God right now. And in that moment right where you are, just begin to ask God to fill you. Just begin to ask God to fill you. Let's just sit right there for a moment. Just ask Him to fill you. Say, oh God, fill me with Your Spirit. Now say this. Say, Holy Spirit, have Your way. I invite You to baptize me. Holy Spirit, baptize me with Your fire. Illuminate. Purify in the name of Jesus. The Bible says when you begin to ask God to baptize you with that Spirit, that if you ask for something, just like when you ask for salvation, you received it. If you ask for that baptism in the Spirit, you receive it. And you begin to release your faith with the evidence of speaking in a new language. It's a heavenly language. Just begin to let that language flow. It may not sound like mine. I've been practicing for years. The first time I ever prayed in tongues, I sounded like Fred Flintstone. I said, yabba dabba do. But over the years, I began to pray in the Spirit more and more. God doesn't care what you sound like. He just cares that you have the faith to say, oh God, I want more. And if there's a prayer language that gives me power and authority, I want that too. I don't want to rush it. Anyone in this room, if you could be honest, anyone in this room that wants to be baptized in the Spirit, you've never prayed in the Spirit in your life, if you could just be so bold and say, that's me, Pastor. I've never prayed in tongues, I've never prayed in the Spirit, but I want to. If that's you, and you're bold enough to say, that's me, and you want to, then come down and meet me at this altar right now. You're saying, I want the Spirit, I want to have the prayer language, I want to be able to have more if it's available to me. Come quickly. If you raise your hand, come quickly. We're just going to be here for just a moment. Extend your hands towards those who are coming. Somebody come help me, please. You too. So you're just going to release your faith. What's going to happen is I'm going to pray and you're going to pray and you're going to ask God. He's going to fill you even more than He already has. Yeah, He's already pouring. He's already pouring. And then you're just going to open your mouth and your syllables are going to come out. You don't know why, you don't know where, but don't wait for God to take control of you. He's not going to take control of you. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit wants you to yield. You say, I've never done it before. You're stepping away from the edge. You're stepping away from the edge. Come closer, come closer. Come right here. I want you to come closer. Come closer if you can, man. Thank you. God bless you. All right, let's say this prayer together. Say, Holy Spirit, I invite you. Baptize me. Give me a new language. A language that I don't understand, but You understand. Now stop praying right there and listen to me. Here's what you just asked God to do. You just asked God to give you your prayer language. Now listen, when you pray this prayer language, what's beautiful is that you're not praying. It's not in your mind. Remember, we talked about the Spirit. It's not your mind. That's why you don't have to understand the words. But God's Spirit Himself, when you open your mouth and say those new words, God's Spirit Himself intercedes through your voice on your behalf. So literally, Jesus is praying for you when you pray in the Spirit. The Spirit of God intercedes on your behalf. In the name of Jesus, say, Holy Spirit, baptize me. Say, baptize me now in the name of Jesus. Uh-huh, like a wind, it's going to hit you. Like a wind. I don't even have to touch you. There it is. There it is. All over this room. I want you to turn this room into a house of worship one more time. A house of worship. A house of worship. Come on. Lift your voice and lift your faith all over this room. Come on. Press in. Press in right there. Yeah, you're praying in tongues like you've been doing this for years. For everybody who wants more, this is your call. This is your invitation. For everybody who wants an overflow. For everybody who wants more. Come on, sing that out. We want more, Jesus. Specializes in the impossible. So Lord, I'm asking that in these moments that we have remaining, these sacred seconds, that you would touch your dear children, your dear saints in this room in such a way that they would leave here with an experience and an encounter that would be more than a memory and more than emotion. It would be something that they would say, my spirit touched his spirit tonight. It wasn't just my mind. It wasn't just visual for me. It was spiritual. You're in this room tonight and you need a breakthrough. You need the kind of breakthrough that sinks you to the place where you can't do anything but just be in awe of what he did. Oh, yeah. You're in this room tonight and you've been in a desperation. You've been in a place of uncertainty so much so that you have been in a pit. Trying to convince yourself and definitely convincing everybody else that you're not depressed, but the pit literally is a depression. God's going to heal someone in such a way that it's going to be like a rope that came down into that pit and you grabbed on and you didn't even have to climb. The rope just started pulling you out. That's the kind of miracle power that's available for us as believers. I believe God wants to heal people physically tonight in these remaining moments. If you're in this room and you're sick, if you're in this room and you're in pain, or you have some kind of discomfort because of something in your body, your physical body that is out of alignment, out of adjustment, it's not right. In fact, I use those words because I sense that there's someone here and you've got this alignment issue with your neck and your spine and chiropractors and adjustments and natural things you tried, and there's this thing that just keeps coming back and it just keeps weighing on you and it hurts and it's causing you distractions, and God's going to heal you tonight. Oh yeah. I've been feeling this all week. It wasn't even that I mentioned it last night. I've been feeling all week stomach ulcers. Stomach ulcers. Stomach ulcers. God wants to heal it. He wants to take it away. Stomach ulcers gone. Just like that girl we talked about. Stomach ulcers. Not through a process of healing. No, a miracle. In the moment. Someone's going to feel something change tonight in their body. you may feel something pop. You may feel something snap. You may feel something get hot. People react in different ways. I don't know how God's going to do it for you. But maybe when you step away from the edge tonight in your faith and you do it in a way you haven't, you'll get a result that you've been wanting but haven't. Arthritis, sight, vision. I see vision that causes vision, eye problems that causes vision. I also see and feel this eye problem that's not necessarily about vision as much as it is about the pain. And I don't know what it's like to have pain in the eyes, other than just to have something get in my eye that causes it to sting. I don't know the kind of pain that I sense that someone has. It's almost like it's behind the eye. It causes headaches. It causes these headaches like migraines. And God wants to heal you tonight. If we pray for someone in the room who has cancer tonight, it wouldn't be the first time I've seen God heal cancer. So I just want to say that. Addiction to pain medication. You don't even have to tell anybody what you're believing God for. But God's going to heal you of that dependency, and you're going to learn how to put that trust and that commitment on something else that's not distracting you from your purpose. You've known for a long time it was time to give that thing up and be healed. Truth is, most of us in this room have wounds emotionally that have never really been dealt with. And so that's why we keep going back to those secret dark areas, because we're just trying to cover up something that is causing us pain and we don't have an outlet. God says it's time for you to stop going back to that addiction because you're so worried and you're so stressed and you think that's the only way out. God says if you would cast your cares on me, you wouldn't feel the weight anymore. Did I not say through the prophet that the government of the world shall be upon his shoulders? His being who? It's your God. It's your Jesus. That's why he said my yoke is easy. My burden is light, because you're not supposed to carry it. You're supposed to trust. So stop trying to control it and look back over your shoulder and remind yourself that if I got you out of that, I'll get you out of this too. If I healed, then I can heal again. God says, ooh, sometimes we just got to remember what he's already done. Okay. Allergies and sinuses. Sinus issues. Sinus issues that don't even have anything to do with seasonal allergies. It's just always there. It doesn't matter where you are, what the climate is. It may be a little worse here or there for whatever reason, but just like this is nagging sinus stuff. God says, I can clear it up. You can take the deepest breath you've taken in years. So Lord, right now, this room is about to become a prayer room for people who need miracles. And whether I called out through a word of wisdom or knowledge, something that you should want God to do in your life or not, just know this. God says, miracles are waiting on you. But the breakthrough didn't happen at the edge. The breakthrough happened in the depths. Come to a place where you aren't so in control in your faith. Let your spirit believe God for something that maybe you've doubted before, but you're saying, I still believe. In Daniel chapter 3, when they threw them into that fire, whenever Nebuchadnezzar, talked to Daniel, and then there was this moment where they had to bow down to this false golden image. They said some statements to that king, and that's what's going to apply to you in your time of prayer tonight. They said, we know that he's able. Then they basically said, and we know that he will. And he's able shows that they had faith. And when they said, we know he will, that meant that they had knowledge. But when they said, but even if he doesn't, we still won't bow, that showed commitment. Which means I trust you even when I can't trace you. God, help us to have faith when we can't see with our eyes, but we must see with our spirit. blinded eyes can be opened. Anxiety to the place where you've been on the verge of a panic attack. On the verge of a panic attack. That nervous, shaky feeling that you have. God says, I want to take it from you. Just like I took the stripes on my back. Just like I took all of the cursing and all of the hatred of those people that did not know what they were doing. God says, I took the pain so you didn't have to have it. I took the rejection so you didn't have to experience it. I took it all. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we are going to pray and ask God to heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually every person in the room who needs it. If you've got a headache, ask God to heal you. If you got something going on in one of your feet, if it's, you may say, it's just a small thing. No, bring it to God tonight and watch Him heal you right where you are. The Bible declares this, that nothing, somebody say nothing, not one thing in this room, right, is impossible with God. Eyes closed. Uh-huh. Father, have your way in this room. We know that you are able. We know that you will. God, have your way in this room. I want to put the promises of Scripture on this. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. Not we can be, not we could be. We are healed. Which just means we're catching up in time to what's already been done. You said in your word, sickness and disease can't come near our dwelling place. So, Father, we stand on the promises of your word and we thank you that you are able to do what even practicing physicians at times cannot do. And we're so thankful that you use physicians and medication and some of those things that maybe at times necessary. But, God, I want you to do what nothing can truly do. And that's the miraculous. I don't just want to cover up the symptoms. I want to touch and cut out the root that's caused this in my life. So all over the room, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Just lift your hands. And you can decide how long you want to leave them lifted. But the point is that you're saying, God, I'm surrendered. God, I'm moving away from the edge. God, I'm moving away from my fears. I'm moving away from doubt. I believe that you can. And even if you don't, it doesn't change anything. I'll still be as crazy as I am tonight about you. I'll still believe. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we worship you tonight, my earnest prayer is that you would heal. That you would heal us from the inside out, that you would touch physical bodies and that you would raise us up out of the muck and mire we've been in. Oh God, I call people out of depression. I call people out of fear and doubt and lack and unbelief. I call people out of a poverty mindset. I call people to believe you for the best that you have for them. And in Jesus' name, in the nombre de Jesus, whatever I need to say, I pray you would move all races, all colors, God, in this room, all ages, every space. Oh God, I pray that we would not have one thing that needs to be touched untouched tonight. Oh God, open up eyes and open up ears and open up lungs and open up mouths in the name of Jesus. Now just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. Just begin to let Him know, I know that you can heal and I know that you are able. Hallelujah. Father, it's my prayer that in this moment you would do what only you can do. So out loud, I want everyone in the room who needs a miracle to say a prayer of faith. It's simple, but just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, touch me. Heal me. Have your way in me. Do something in me that no one else can, that nothing else could. Touch me in a way that I would know you are who you say you are. Say, Lord, I believe that I receive. Now, right where you are, we're going to sit here and worship. And I want some of you to start to check yourself as you just prayed. Because some of you didn't even realize it, but something already shifted. You couldn't move that ankle in a way before. I want you to check that ankle. You couldn't turn and look to your left because of that thing that was going on with your neck. Go ahead and see if you can take a look to the left. Maybe there was pain every time you moved and you bent over in a certain kind of way in your physical body. If there was something limiting you prior to us praying, just go ahead and check yourself, because somebody's going to realize even in that moment of prayer, for a few moments, something shifted, something changed. Here's what I found out about the gifts of the Spirit. That in the gifts of the Spirit, there are two that sometimes get intertwined together. And that is the gift of miracles, and that is the gift of healing. Sometimes God heals right in a moment, and that's what I'm after tonight. There are other times where God heals through a process. So if He doesn't heal you in 5 seconds, keep on pressing and believing and speaking truth over yourself until He heals you in 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 months or 5 years. But I'll still believe. There was a great healing evangelist woman who traveled and preached at these great crusades, and people would get healed. People would have limbs grow back and have tumors fall off. And yet every day she would go home and she would go to bed, and she had a tumor of her own on her body, until one day she stood up in the mirror and she said, "In the name of Jesus, you're healed." Nothing changed, but everybody else was getting healed. She was a woman of God. So every day, same thing, look in the mirror, "You're healed in the name of Jesus." Until after months go by, she's taking a shower. And before she gets out to go look at herself in the mirror and tell herself that she's healed, she felt something hit the ground in the shower, turned around, and there was the tumor. She said, "It's about time," and kept on taking a shower. What I want you to know is some of us are going to see some people who get their instant breakthrough. And you're wondering, but what about me, Lord? God says, keep on pressing and keep on believing. Because sometimes God just wants to see, do you really trust me, or do you just trust me if? What did they say? They said, even if you don't, we still won't bow. Because guess what? If I die, I win. And guess what? If I win, I win. So really, I can't lose unless I bow. And that's not going to happen. So do what you want to do, devil. Put some sickness on me if you want to. Try to get people to hate on me if you want to. Do whatever you got to do, but I won't give up. A few more seconds. Check yourself. Couldn't move your head. Couldn't run. One time I did this at a meeting, and we had kids running back and forth across the auditorium. Just running. Running back and forth. And we're like, "Stop running. Why are you running?" They said, "Because we couldn't run before. We have asthma. And our inhaler's over there with the nurse somewhere. We don't even need it. So if you don't mind, we're just going to keep on running." Sometimes you just got to release your faith through the action of, check yourself. I'll never forget the time I asked God to heal my knee. My knee was so messed up from basketball. So messed up. And I had tweaked it and tore, and I had messed it up. And I was at my church. And so I just went in the sanctuary by myself. And I said, "Lord, I pray for people to be healed. And I've seen you do it. But Lord, I need you to touch me now, because I don't want to deal with this. And Lord, while it may seem like it's just a small thing, I don't want to limp around." I said, "Lord, touch my leg." And I felt it like it was a physician that did an operation in a moment. It was a... The best way I can explain it is that I felt something naturally that was completely done in the spirit realm. And you know what? Some people say, "Yeah, right. I bet that really happened." Well, the Bible says where your faith is, that's what you get. And I don't know about you, but if my faith is the determining factor, then I'm going to believe that God is the most powerful, the most providing, the most caring. I'm going to see God as gargantuan, not as this small, maybe, possibly, perchance He could move in my life. God, no. I know that if He did it before, He could do it again. Check yourself. Couldn't bend down. Couldn't do this with your knees. Check that leg. Check that one leg. Check that back. Lord, we thank You in advance. Lord, if not just one person gets a miracle in this moment, it didn't change anything for us. We'll keep pursuing You. But I got a hunch somebody got touched. If that's you, on the count of three, you say, "I feel different now than I did before we prayed. Like something changed." We want to know who you are. We want to celebrate you. If that's you, just slip up a hand. 1, 2, 3. Say, "I felt something change." Right here. Thank you. Anybody else, you say, "I felt something change. I felt something shift." Don't be shy at all. You felt something change. Just raise your hand and wave at me. Say, "I felt that. I felt something change." Come here, ma'am. Come here. What did you feel changed? Just tell them. We pray for you to be baptized. What's wrong with your leg? You had surgery. Your whole knee replacement. Okay? Have you been having pain? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, God, that you would allow this knee to heal completely. I thank you that, Lord, what you have designed to be whole will be whole. Lord, I thank you that whatever has been torn or broken or skewed or hurt, Lord, I pray that you would bring it into its proper alignment in the name of Jesus. Lord, that she would be able to pursue your will and your purposes and show others that you are able to do what you've done for her. He says you'll be a light in the dark place. Yep, you made the right decision to receive the Spirit. He's going to lead you now. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, I don't think God's done here. Lift your hands all over the room. I gotta go because I got an early flight, but I am in no rush, trust me. Because I feel something pushing. I feel something pressing. I don't know who in this room says, I'm not done with God. I need more. We just prayed for miracles and I had one hand go up. That's not good enough for me. I'm going to press in one more time before I go. So right where you are, if you need a physical healing in your body, put one hand high in the air. If you see somebody with a hand up and you are a believer, go to somebody that you see with a hand up if you don't mind helping me in this moment. Come on, let's come together in unity and let's pray this thing through. Find somebody who says, I'm sick, I'm in pain, I need help, I need Jesus. But would somebody come and agree with me right now? Come on, that's your job, find somebody. We got a lot of people at the front with hands up and I don't see anybody moving. Come on, somebody got to get out of their seat and move away from the edge and come out and pray with us. Come out and pray with us. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your miracle working power. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you can do what a physician and a doctor can't do, what a hospital can't do. Oh God, move in power. Move in power. Touch in the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. God, I pray. Oh, God, I pray for clarity. I pray for clarity like never before. A clarity of mind. A clarity of mind like never before. Oh, God, a clarity of mind like never before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Work is done. I just sense that we're supposed to just worship and press in right here, and I want to worship and I want to just press in with you, and I'm going to let Pastor John come in a few moments, but I don't want this to end with us spectating. I want us to end with full participation, that we're all getting off the edge and stepping out into the waters. So wherever you are in your walk with him, wherever you are and your commitment to him, I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you before we worship this one last time, that you truly would let this overflow touch those around you, because I believe that God is calling men and women in this church and young people in this church to step up to take ownership of that which you are a part of. We don't always respect the rental car because we're taking it back, but this is yours, baby. Take ownership. Say, this is mine. When we're in our car, we don't just treat our car any kind of way, because I own this. I pay for this. Listen, you have ownership here. This is your family. This is your body. And I just believe God is calling some of us to say, I'm going to witness and I'm going to reach out and I'm going to serve and I'm going to be a part. And if anybody else has negativity, I'm going to be the one that stays positive. Lift your hands all over this room. Just sing this out one last time. Just one last time. It's so beautiful. My healer, Lord. Come on, every hand lifted. You are all.